There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone. Or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment and to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart, and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here just for this purpose, to enlighten and empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, good evening, everybody. We're here for another Wednesday night broadcast, and that loops 24 hours, 7 days a week for free. Want to say hello to everybody out there that does not listen to the show live on a Wednesday night. Maybe you listen to it at work. And also, in about a week or two, we're going to have some new applications on the show's website that will allow you to download the show on your iPads and your fancy new cell phones. We'll be doing that in about a week or two. Our IT guy, Chris Love, is going to be installing those on the site, and they will be on the Contact the Radio page, which will be a real good way of listening to the show. And you can email us right now tonight. Contact the show and make sure you say, don't mention my name. It's okay if you mention my name. It's okay to talk about this on the air. Don't talk about this on the air. All of those things are acceptable. And even if you just want to say hello, you just want to hear your name and the town that you live in, email us. And it's on the contacts page. We've done a lot of things over the 14 weeks of this show. Tonight is a 14th week broadcast. We want to talk about the positive sides of God's grace. We've talked about sin and lies and the manipulation of words. But what about the Word? About the pleasure, the love, the kindness that it gives you. The fact of knowing that wherever you go, you have this power of love. That's, there's like an old cartoon character, the Peanix, Charlie Brown cartoon characters, where there's a... one of the kids, wherever he goes, he's got a rain cloud that showers him, and he's always covered in rain wherever he goes. Well, think of it, the flip side to that is God's grace, that wherever you go, the sky's blue, the sun is out, there's no bumps in the road, you're not hungry, you're not thirsty. That's God's love, and it's always with you. But whether you take advantage of it or not, well, there's a question. Whether you know it's there and that you already have it and own it and possess it, there's a question. But then there's a bigger question to those two. And the main question is if you own it, it's yours, it's always there with you. Well, the big question is, why don't you use it? Why don't you even recognize it? Because it's a wondrous thing. Why is that, Jim? How would you answer that? Why don't they take advantage of it? How come?
Well, a really great answer would be found in Hebrews, and I'll just use the word to kind of help me with the response to that question. I love this translation. It's the Cotton Patch translation. May not have heard of that before, but it's actually a translation. It says of Hebrews 11:1, now faith is betting your life on the unseen realities of God. So the question is, how come people wouldn't use these wonderful things that are available for them, especially God's love, God's grace? And the answer to that question is because that takes faith in an unseen world, the spirit world. And so many people are very, very acclimated to this unnatural world of that which is seen. And that's some of the reason why, even as BJ made mention tonight in the opening thoughts, about just switching some gears, not necessarily so though, and speaking about some things, attributes of God's love and kindness and some grace, and seeing it through the eyes of some positive things. But notice how the first 14 weeks we've spent a lot of good time sharing things about this unnatural world. Not to make you get stuck in it, but to help to get you unstuck. So here's a question asked. How come people don't more readily take advantage of the grace of God? Because it takes faith, which is something that is so natural. What is faith? I like to say it this way. It's the handwriting on the wall of how you relate to God. Say it better. It's somebody's description of your relationship with God. And when you have a relationship with God, guess what? You'll find yourself trusting in Him, trusting in unseen attributes, and believing in them right in the midst of things that seem to be so scary or so real all around you. So I'm really glad tonight that we're talking about the grace of God, sharing it from a little bit of a different perspective, but it's something that's so wonderful, so necessary, and what a joy it is to know that God's love is with us all day long.
Yeah, now, on this love and grace, the ability for people to take advantage of it is something that they say, well, it's just not for me. It isn't there. I haven't earned it. I haven't repented. And there's the tragedy of it.
Yes, it is.
Because they think I'm not good enough. I stole a dollar today. I cheated a week ago. I lied on an insurance form. I broke something and I told somebody it was stolen and I just threw it away. I mean, I don't know. You know, there's all these things that people do that, and what negative energy, otherwise known as the devil and the Satan, wants to do is he wants this negative energy to be created, built, designed, and implemented by you, because that's the only way it can take place.
Yeah, that's right.
So basically basically, this is the way it works. I can't make you feel sick. I can't kill you. I can't hurt you because Jesus Christ defeated me.
Yes.
So can you do me a favor and come up with an idea of how to manufacture a poison? And then I need you to make this poison. And then I need you to drink this poison. Mm-hmm. And then I need this poison to make you so sick that you can't enjoy God's grace. Could you do me that favor? Because I would really appreciate it. Oh. That's basically, it's a broad stroke, but I've just described what?
Yeah, you've just described the characteristics of negative energy. Exactly. He's a liar.
But the flip side to that is the grace, the positive side.
Yes.
Why don't people focus on that? Tell them how and why and back it up with Scripture.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting. The way that the world has perverted our thoughts. Let me give you an instance to that. Very simply put, isn't it interesting that there's such a concept right now that's floating around the world, and people actually feel pretty good if they get on the positive side of this thought process. Here it is. Is your glass half empty or is your glass half full? And here we are saying, well, hey, my glass is half full because I want to be on the positive side. And we accept something that's of this world and it has nothing to do with how God sees you. Because you can go to Psalm 100 and find out right there that to the man that understands God and has a relationship with Christ, his cup isn't half full, his cup isn't half empty, his cup runs over. So look at the difference right there, that we would accept something so low in its expectation and its ability to produce, and yet think, hey, I'm doing really well because my cup's half full. Well, folks, we haven't got to the fullness of the things that God has given us, and it's time for us to see ourselves through Christ. BJ made a couple comments earlier that were really, really good when he helped to describe the individuals that feel like, well, I've done such and such, or, you know, I just don't feel like I can meet, you know, the standard, and maybe I haven't done everything I should, or I've done some things I shouldn't have done. Well, this is the whole reason why God's grace is so amazing. It's amazing because it's based on someone else's merit. Whose merit is that? It's based on the merit of Jesus Christ. What a joy for us to know that a gift has been presented. And the gift is salvation through Christ. And when we see through the scriptures in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And I know it may seem like God's gift and God's unconditional love is just way too big for us. In fact, there's songs out there that say it's too hard, it's too much for me to even comprehend. Well, I'm sorry, that's putting boundaries and limits on God. You're a spirit and you can comprehend it. You can understand it, but you need to get out of natural, earthly thinking. Thinking that is of this unnatural world. It's so important for us, and this session is going to be really exciting for you to just begin to relax and see yourself through the eyes of God and begin to understand how important it is for you to identify yourself with Christ. No longer look at yourself in the mirror and say, "I'm not sure that I can, I'm not sure that I'm willing," but look at yourself in the mirror and say, "Jesus made me able, Jesus made me willing," and through His gift that had nothing to do with me. You know, the interesting definition that the world has accepted for so long of God's grace is unmerited favor. We'd more or less, BJ and I, would like to say God's grace is God's ability. God's ability to do all kinds of amazing things in your life. But it is truly an unmerited favor. It didn't have anything to do with you. It had everything to do with Jesus. And so tonight, thank God, we're going to spend some time talking about this wonderful difference between a world that so quickly judges you according to your flesh and God, who gives us such amazing insight and future and hope by allowing ourselves to be judged by Christ. And Christ was perfect. Thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. BJ, I want to share a story with you. I want you to be on because I want you to interject some thought on this. And it's a story that I was talking with someone this afternoon, and I thought, this is really, really good. And I want to see what your thoughts are about it. And it goes to grace and love. And they were sharing with me that they'd had a relationship that wasn't like it should have been, and it really caused them to become very insecure. It didn't allow them to experience really who they were. They found themselves maybe confined by trying to impress this person, trying to be something that this person wanted instead of that wonderful feeling when you know you're accepted. And some things didn't go right with that relationship, but God moved them on, and this individual found someone. God just blessed him with this amazing person, and now they've got a wonderful marriage together. And here's what he had to say. He said, "I've never been myself in years like I can be myself now." And I said, "Do you realize what you're saying?" I said, "You're able to be yourself, and all these amazing qualities are coming out of you because there's no pressure on you. This person right. believes in you. They don't just love you. They love you unconditionally." Yeah. And this is his comment. He said, "They never change. I could mess up, and she still doesn't change. Her love's so amazing, and it allows me to have freedom." And I said, "Here's the cool thing. The freedom and the liberty is what you protect now because the relationship's so wonderful you wouldn't want to taint it." And that's the power of God's grace.
It is. It's like if you ask somebody, "Do your eyes blink?" They'll say, "Well, yeah." And then you say, "Well, when was the last time they blinked? How many times do they blink in a minute? How many times do they blink an hour? How many times did they blink yesterday versus today?" And they first, they'd look at you and they'd say, "Are you stupid? You know, what is wrong with you? You know, mind your own business. Who cares?"
Right.
But then you say, "Well, I want to ask you something." It's an auditory response. You don't have to think to blink. You just blink.
Right.
And depending on how much dirt and dust and obstacles and distractions are in front of your face really dictates, do you squint or are your eyes wide open?
Right.
Well, you can apply that to your relationship with Christ.
That's good.
If there's a lot of distractions in your way,
yes,
you blink.
Yes.
You close your eyes, and you can't see Christ anymore.
Yes.
He hasn't left. You have.
Yes.
If you understand this, it helps you appreciate the positive sides of a spiritual relationship.
Very much so.
Because this doesn't have anything to do with a church or a building. It doesn't really have anything to do with the Bible per se, or this is about what do you do with your conscious self, and how do you appreciate what's always there? Because you don't count, you don't weigh or measure the substance of grace. It's there.
Yes.
You have it. You're not taught to blink. Even a baby that just comes out of the womb blinks and squints at the appropriate time. So you're born with grace.
Yes.
And if you don't use it, you don't use it.
Yeah.
But it's there. It doesn't go away.
No.
You just ignore it.
Yeah, when you see that Jesus... Go ahead.
So if you apply this to someone's everyday life and they say, I'm having a bad day, I'm having a bad week, things are not going well, I've got problems, I got trouble here.
Mm-hmm.
They're blinking.
Yeah.
They're blinking their relationship with God. They're blinking grace away.
Yes.
But if they hold their eyes wide open and they say, I will not lean, I will not falter, I will stand my ground and go toe-to-toe, and my eyes are wide open to the grace and power of God, and I'm having a wonderful day. By the time they get all that out of their mouth, it's going to diffuse the road rage.
Yeah.
It's going to diffuse, I'm late for work, is my boss going to yell at me? Because if it diffuses those things, and those things are of the world, then so are the sickness and diseases of the flesh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Which means that if you can hold your eyes wide open to enjoy grace for those things, then it applies everywhere, because God's power is absolute.
Yes, it is.
And it's limitless and boundless.
Yeah.
And so acknowledging grace dismisses sin.
Yes.
Because you can't multitask.
No, no. You're either focused on one or the other.
So if you decide to have a good day, and decide to appreciate and notice God's grace wherever you can.
Yes.
Then you're there.
Yeah, yeah.
You have it.
Yeah.
Because you can't focus on the good and let the negative affect you.
Philemon 6 says that the effectiveness of your faith comes as you acknowledge every good thing which is in you in Christ. It's exactly what you just got through saying. Your faith becomes effectual. Well, what do you mean, your faith? Your ability to walk in the unseen realm of the Spirit becomes effectual. And the word effectual is important. It's as important as hitting the bullseye every time. Do we want to just shoot at a target and never hit it? Well, no. We become effectual. We start hitting bullseye after bullseye after bullseye in the realm of the Spirit where our faith is, by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So as we began to talk about the love of God, think about God's love. His love is so amazing that all sin is forgiven, which is to you the ability to live without condemnation. Folks, the very things that we accept as what we've called and made terminology of natural things, they're not natural. Condemnation, inferiority, feeling road rage, as BJ mentioned, having all these negative emotions to deal with, blinking your eyes constantly because of dust, it's not natural.
No, but talking about what is sin, talking about what is unnatural, talking about how these things are unpleasant, by acknowledging what they are, means that now you don't have to blink at them and you can dismiss them. So all of a sudden, something bad promotes good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you do. You've got something that's of this world, and as you recognize it, what happens? You have, even in one sense, you have a stronger passion for that which is good by turning away from that which is negative.
Yes.
And
acknowledging sin doesn't mean that you're being judgmental
or
critical.
No.
And it doesn't even mean that you're seeing the glass half empty. All you're saying is there's a glass.
Yes.
And part of it is void.
Right. And now to acknowledge that is to accept that our cup runs over. How are you going to accept your cup runs over when you don't know you have a cup? You know, I made a comment earlier to you, and tell me whether you think this is a good place to put this about the astronomy. It seemed like a really good example to me that helps people see how the things that man has made, and this goes back to some of the things we've talked about before, but we're bringing a couple of interesting sides here tonight that I think will be very, very helpful for you. But this afternoon in healing school, I preached this, and it seemed to really, really help folks. And I called it Astronomy 101. And I'm going to actually write a theory on it, so it'll be in the theory page here. And that's something that you, by the theory page, or for your considerations, you can go to at any time at the website, which is theabidingpresence.com. And you'll find some great articles there that you can listen to and read, read and reread. And it'll help you to understand some of the things that we're talking about. But Astronomy 101, a theory that I'll go ahead and put in there next week. And this is what it seems to indicate. My daughter ended up going on a camping trip recently, and it was last month when it was still, let's say at nighttime, maybe 45 degrees. And during the day, it got up to about 68, so it was really very pleasant. And but, of course, they had their sleeping bags, and it was a camping trip where there weren't any lights from electricity. And so these kids are out there in their tents, and they're using their flashlights. But at night, all they had for light was a big bonfire, which is awesome. But they laid down next to it on their sleeping bags, and they looked up into the stars. And my daughter went on and on and on about how many stars she saw and all these different constellations that they were able to clearly see without any hindrance. And she started naming two or three of them and said, I could see it completely. And the Little Dipper and the Big Dipper. And I could see I can see the tail, and I didn't have any problem. Nothing was. And Daddy, you should have seen there were at least 9 shooting stars that we saw that just kind of went flying across the heavens. It was so cool. We saw so many things, and the amount of stars that were there. All right, now you got the picture. Now, let's turn to the opposite side of this, and let me ask you a question. If you've never been to New York City at night, then maybe you've seen some pictures of it, or even picture a city or town where you live, but magnify it, as New York City could do, by about 100 times with all the lights and all the things that man has built in New York City. And let me ask you a question. If you looked up into the sky on a very, very clear night in New York City, how many stars are you going to see? And the answer to that is very few. Very few. Well, how come? It's because there's all kinds of distractions and clutter from the things that man has built. Now, this is a really good illustration here that helps us right along with what BJ was talking about, because once you begin to see and acknowledge the things that man has built is hindering my ability to have clarity and see things that are out there, then immediately that gives you the power of choice. To make a choice to do what? To go out into the country and lay underneath the stars and see the beauty of what God has created. Folks, put this spiritually, and it's a really interesting thought, but it's all through the Bible. You can see it everywhere where Jesus makes comment after comment and helps us to see that of this natural world, there's nothing that's going to help your spiritual clarity or relationship with God. Jesus didn't, you know, spend time hanging around everybody when it was time to talk to his Father. He went to a place that was solitaire. He went to a place that was out in the woods. In fact, interestingly enough, go back over to Numbers, go to Deuteronomy, and you'll find that Moses had a tent of meeting. Folks, this was the place that God would come and he would overshadow the tent. And when Moses saw the cloud of God overshadow the tent, he would then go to the tent, go into the tent, the cloud would enter the tent, and God and Moses would talk together. That's why it was called a tent of meeting, where Moses would meet with God. Now, here's an interesting thought. It says of this tent that Moses erected the tent of meeting far from the camp. Now, how far do you think you'd have to put it today from the camp? a really, really far place. Why? Because he was getting away from the things of man where he could meet with God. I believe this is some really good information tonight, BJ, and we're helping people to understand, even if you want to. It's like a summary. 14 weeks of helping us to come to some of these places where I think people are getting it, that of this world, the distractions and the things that man has done to obscure our view from God is the real hindrance. And the acknowledgement of this is where grace comes to rescue us. And the love of God, where sins are forgiven, is the reason why we can march right into the throne of God and have such wonderful clarity with the Lord.
And it's like blinking your eyes.
And there it goes back to the blinking eye story. Yes.
You don't have to think about it, because one of the things that people will come up and they'll say, you know, I can't believe, you know, this, and you can't believe this has happened, and you've only been saved for, you know, 200 and something days, and,
yeah,
you know, you've never been baptized, and you never went to churches, you know, and I just say, well, think about what you just said. Think about all that is wrong with organized religion.
Yeah.
Not Christianity, it's religion. There's a difference. And What it boils down to is people put an unreasonable expectation on their own ability to appreciate grace and to have a relationship with their Father, with God. It's almost like having an unrealistic idea of what you can do. It's like, okay, if all of a sudden I went home and tomorrow morning at chore time, when I open up all the paddock gates and all the horses go tearing out into the pastures, I say, you know, I'm going to run with the horses and I should be going 35 miles an hour like they are over open, uneven ground.
Okay.
Well, they've got four legs. I've got two. Mine don't work real well sometimes, and they're bigger, stronger, faster than me, and they were designed to be doing that. Well, that's, even though that sounds good and I mean well, it's unrealistic. And I think people do that to themselves. They think that they have to dress a certain way, mm-hmm, say certain things,
right,
be at a certain place, and more importantly, they have to have a certain unmeasurable amount of, okay, self-doubt, self-guilt, before they feel worthy enough,
right,
to even say the words, "This grace is mine. I've had it since I was born."
Right.
"And I can use it whenever I want. And I have an unlimited amount of supply." Because it's hard. It literally is unfathomable for them to say that. But yet, all day long, when nobody's around, they got this little mantra going between their ears at work and on the,
yes,
way home.
Yeah.
"I'm a bad person. I'm a bad,
yeah,
person.
Sure,
I'm a bad person.
Sure.
I feel like crap. I'm,
yeah,
a bad person. I'm a bad person. I feel bad. I'm a bad person. I'm a bad person. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it.
Right.
I'm a bad person."
Yep.
Blank, blank, blank,
yeah,
blank,
yeah,
blank,
yeah,
blank. It's the same as click, 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 click. They're literally painting themselves in a spiritual corner.
Yes, they are.
And what's really sad about it is that most churches are not churches, they're buildings. And when you walk in the door, they say, "Here's a brush and here's a can of paint. Right. We're going to show you how to paint yourself in a corner, but more importantly, why you deserve to be painted into a corner."
Yeah.
Welcome to religion.
Yeah. Well, here's a verse that I think you'll like. And I also want to comment about something that someone said.
I mean, does
about
that make
you.
Sense? What
yeah, yeah. Think about. Well, all right. Before I get to this verse, let me just take up where you kind of left off. All right. Somebody says to you, "Well, look at the amount of a relationship with God you have after these small moments, and you haven't been in church, and you haven't been doing this, and haven't been doing that." Well, BJ, take the other side of that. And look at how many people are in church. And again, this isn't to take people out of church, folks. This is explaining to you and helping you to see that there's so much religion in our doctrine that keeps us from having the clarity and the understanding of our relationship with God. I think we've said this on previous shows, BJ, that the goal is not to have a relationship with the Bible. The goal is the Bible gives you a relationship with God. It's the gold at the end of the rainbow. It's the treasure that the treasure map leads you to.
I've told you that. How many times have you come out to the ranch, Jim, and I have told you, I said, it's not that I disrespect the Bible, because people say, why don't you quote the Bible? And I say, think of the Bible as a spiritual cookbook. It's a recipe book. What is more important, to covet the recipe book, the Betty Crocker cookbook?
Good illustration.
That's not going to fill your stomach.
No.
The book doesn't have the nutritional requirements of a decent meal.
Right.
But what does the Betty Crocker cookbook do for you? It shows you everything you need to know how to prepare a wonderful meal for your family that you can enjoy, that you can love, that will fill you up, that will give you the fuel that you need to go on.
Yeah.
So guess what? I think the Bible is a spiritual cookbook full of recipes.
That's a real good illustration.
You can covet them.
Yeah.
You can protect them. You can respect them beyond belief. But the point is, don't stop.
No.
With the book.
No, get the cake.
Go after what the recipe will give you.
Get the pie. Get the cake. Yeah, absolutely. You know, when Jesus made the comment, John 6:63, he said, "My words are spirit and my words are life." Well, you want to know why? Because he's got a relationship with heaven. Because there's something called eternal life flowing through his life as a result of his relationship. The words brought Jesus, the words will bring you into an experience with God. And so, you know, the recipe is actually a very good illustration. BJ, I'm glad you brought that up, because how much better for people to understand? The recipe is extremely important. What does it do? It allows you to have extremely good cupcakes.
Okay. The only reason I brought it up is I haven't had anything to eat all day. I'm dying. I'm dying. I'm thinking about going down to that vending machine that screws you.
So we probably need to get off the recipe thing, because I was getting ready to explain the pie that I had tonight.
No. No. I mean, if I'm arrested because I robbed a Colonel Sanders,
what Erin made
bail
tonight?
Me out.
Do you want to know what Erin made tonight?
What'd she make tonight?
She made...
No, I don't want to know.
You don't?
No, what's wrong with you? I just told you I have had nothing to eat today. I interrupt you and I say, please stop talking about cake and cupcakes, and you're going to talk about what your wife made for supper?
Do you know why
wrong with you?
Do you know why she's a good cook? She's a good cook because she follows the recipe.
Hello, are you like 12 years old?
I didn't tell you what she made. I said she follows the recipe. She does a really good job. And if we'll follow the recipe of Scripture, Jesus will lead you right into an experience with God. Wow! That's what eternal love is about. That's what God's grace is about. It's about experiencing God. Let me say this.
No, I'm not, because we just got an email from a lady named LaWanda that's listening out in western Oklahoma.
For Oklahoma.
Yeah, her name's LaWanda.
Good.
Not Wanda, but LaHonda. Or LaWanda. It'd be easy to get her name mixed up with somebody else that's named Wanda.
Okay,
her name is LaWanda.
Okay,
this is what she says. She says, "I'm listening to you now, not sure what it's all about, but we'll pray and the Lord will lead and guide me. He always does. You definitely have good points. I'm in an organized church and I love it. I need the Christian fellowship."
Yeah, that's good.
See, it's almost like what she's doing is defending going to her church/building. I don't know what it is. I haven't been there.
Right.
You know, but I want you to talk about that for a second. Quit talking about food. All right? And what she's saying is that she's saying that she prays to the Lord. She has obviously this woman has a good relationship with Christ. And what she's saying is that she enjoys and she finds need in fellowship with others in an organized way.
Yeah.
Back that up with Scripture.
Yeah.
Help prove her point.
Well,
because I think it's a good one.
It is. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." So think about that. Thank you for this email, LaWanda.
LaWanda.
LaWanda. LaWanda. Thank you, co-host. And see, it's all about the words. And thank you for the email, because it does. It shows us here the importance of being able to be with one another and encourage one another and stir one another up. And it says, stirring one another up with love and good works. Notice verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So it's saying here, as you see the day approaching, the day of the Lord, and you can see the signs and wonders, how much more should we be encouraging one another and stirring one another up in love and good works? And so thank God for the time that you have to be with Christian brothers and sisters, people of like faith that can stir one another up. And we're not trying to make you feel that you need to question your church or the place where you go and you worship. But I want you definitely, LaWanda, to continue to keep these thoughts together, because here's the importance. Everything about what every church and every minister, and here I am, I speak to you as a licensed and ordained ministry. I've been in the ministry for 25 years now, traveling around the country, seeing church after church, building after building. And here's what I see that's so lacking in the body of Christ, and that is the confidence, the heart conviction of a real relationship with God, where people are experiencing His voice and His presence. If you want to know what all the music out there is singing about, it's music that's all tailored to people longing to have God's presence. Oh, I just want to hear His voice. I just want to have His presence. Well, obviously, people that are writing that don't have a strong relationship with God, because that's the relationship. Right.
Yeah, and this is real. See, ladies and gentlemen, the wheels are coming off the wagon. Just got another email that says, this is productive. So while you're talking on the air, this lady writes, I'm making chicken and dumplings.
Awesome.
This is from a lady named Tina, who's also in Oklahoma somewhere.
Thank you for backing me up a little bit. I was really being overshadowed.
No, I'm not going to get, I don't know where Tina lives. I'm not getting Jack from Tina. I'm not getting chicken and dumplings.
Okay.
Where's Fred? Where's Minister Fred from Germany? Because he gave me a whole bucket full of chocolate candy.
And you know what? Germany and Europe has some awesome candy. I've been
Fred,
there a bunch of times.
Fred, thanks for the candy. Okay, I want to ask you this question. See, we're getting emails, folks. It's real easy to email the show. You can go to the show's website.
Thank you for emailing. That's good.
Yeah. www.theabidingpresence.com. The show does loop 24 hours, 7 days a week for free after the live broadcast this evening. Some of your emails, if you don't want your email read on the air, make sure you say, hey, BJ, please don't read my email on the air. It's just for yours eyes only, or Jim's. If you have a question, don't, and there's no such thing as a dumb, stupid, or ridiculous question when it has to do with Christ and your relationship with God.
Absolutely.
I mean, that just is, I mean, I don't want people to feel that way, because that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
People are embarrassed because they say, well, I don't know enough about God to participate. I'm just going to listen.
You
know what? That's civilization and that society keeping someone down from experimenting,
holding them
trying
back,
to say, how spiritual can I become?
Yeah, well,
that's doctrine.
It is doctrine. Let's be super simple right now, BJ, and look at what Tina just wrote. She said, hey, while I'm listening to the show, I'm making chicken and dumplings. Okay, Tina, here's my thought to you. As you eat your chicken and dumplings, let it become to you an awareness that everything you know about the Bible and a relationship with God is so that you can actually sit down with the Lord tonight and experience His presence, His love, His kindness, the fact that He's not judging you, He's not condemning you, He's actually speaking amazing things about you. You can relate to Jesus Christ, because if you have a relationship with God, then the Lord Jesus, by His Spirit, dwells in you. Let the chicken and dumplings be such a simple reminder that you use the recipe, or the recipe that you had known before, and you created something that now you can enjoy. Man, the Bible, the things that we're talking about from Scripture, they are the recipe, the roadmap to allow you to experience something that'll cause you to keep coming back over and over again. You know, if the psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, I think that's pretty apropos to what we're talking about. God wants you to taste something tonight. We've been talking about food to help us to understand that the relationship with God is about tasting Him, experiencing Him. someone say, oh, well, you're trying to get people into an experience. You need to be careful now because people can have wrong experiences. Well, like God's schizophrenic, and seeking after God is going to lead you down a path of devils. Come on, folks. This is ridiculous. Thank God for his grace.
No, there is no such thing as a bad experience.
No.
Because if you... And I'm gonna say this really slowly so that people can understand what I'm saying, because to experience something negative, the negative energy, Satan, devil, whatever you want to refer to, I refer to it as positive energy, God's grace, negative energy, the power of, you know, Satan, whatever. To acknowledge or to experience sin is not necessarily a bad thing. Because how can you truly appreciate a good day if you've never had a bad day? How can you really appreciate a clean, cool glass of water when you've never been thirsty? How can you appreciate God's grace unless you've repented? And see, repent doesn't mean I'm going to feel really bad and I'm a bad person. If you actually, what repent means, a course correction. It's like I've been making left turns for 40-something years. I'm going to repent and make a right turn.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the road is clear. There's no bumps. There's no speed limit. And you don't need gas because now all of a sudden you're on God's highway and your tank isn't even used anymore because you're propelled by God's love.
Right.
That's repent. Repent doesn't mean sitting somewhere crying your eyes out I'm a bad person, I'm a bad person, I sin and I do bad things, I'm not worthy. That's what negative energy wants you to do.
Yeah.
Because since God defeated the devil doesn't have any power at all. All he can hope is that you create your own hell.
Yeah,
that you make yourself feel bad. So acknowledging something that's bad doesn't necessarily make you bad. It doesn't mean you're going to stay bad. It makes you appreciate God's grace even more.
Well,
yes?
That goes right to, for by grace you're saved through faith.
Explain that. Because
here's the simple thought. BJ's not saying, let's go sin some more so that we have something to ask God to forgive us about or to repent about. No, that's not what he's saying. Folks, listen, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In Romans, we find Paul being very specific with this. No one is righteous, no, not one. Well, what kind of situation are we in? The whole world. Sin has been perpetuated all through the ages as a result of mankind being in a sin problem. And this is the thing that Jesus came to eradicate, to get rid of the sin problem. And he did it by becoming our sin and the sacrifice on the cross. But the reality of every human being born into a sin nature is true. And you can't even get born again without acknowledging that we were a sinner, we did do wrong, and we need something to help us make a course correction. And that's called accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's the very soul and the very bedrock of even being born again.
Yeah.
What you described is the bedrock of being born again. It's acknowledging that this is where I was, this is where I could not get myself to, but Jesus has paid a price. I acknowledge his grace, for by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
You know, the other day a husband and wife came up to me in a parking lot of a gas station. And they heard me talking on my cell phone. They says, I recognize your voice.
Really?
And he says, where do I know you from? And I said, well, are you a jailer? You know, I've been in, you know, I get locked up. Well, you know me and my,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
my sense of humor. And of course, his wife, you know, looking at me, my appearance thinks, yeah, this guy,
sure,
you know, this guy's been taking down some banks. You know? And he says, no, he says, you have a radio show about horses. I says, yeah, I do. And he says, you have a radio show about God and praying and stuff. And I go, yeah, okay. You know, why, you know, don't correct somebody. It's just rude.
Sure.
You know, so you just go with it. And I says, I do. I says, do you like it? And he says, it's helped us a lot. And he says, but I have a question for you. And he says, yeah. And he says, well, I don't mean this in a bad way. And I says, yeah. And he says, He says, you have such a nice, soft voice on the radio. And he says, but you're a big old boy. He's like around 5'9", 5'10". He says, he says, you're tall. And he says, you're in good shape. You know, he says, you're a big guy. And he says, well, you've done things. And I says, like what? And he says, well, you know, he says, you've sinned. And I says, you mean like loot and, you know, once again, I can't help myself. I says, you mean like loot and pillage?
Yeah.
Once again, his wife is thinking, you know, we really need to go.
Right.
You know, she's kind of tugging at his pocket. And I says, but it doesn't matter. I says, what matters is that you acknowledge that you don't want to do it anymore.
There you go.
And I says, I haven't been in prison. And I says, but I've never met a cowboy worth his salt that hasn't been locked up in a county jail at least once. You know, he says, you got a point there. He says, my grandfather was a cattleman and, you know, he got locked up one time. And I says, yeah, I says, it kind of goes with it. You know, I says, you know, and I says, but think about this. I says, whatever you've done wrong in your life, all you have to do is say it's wrong and I don't like it. And I says, then all you have to do is say, you know, I don't think I want to do it again. And I don't know if I'm strong enough or smart enough to prevent myself from doing it. But then, oh, ding, I don't have to be smart enough.
That's where Jesus comes in.
I don't have to be strong enough.
Yep.
I just have to say, I don't like this about myself. I want to be a better man and I want to do better things with my life. And okay, if I have God's grace, I need buckets of it.
Yeah.
You know, this, you know.
Well, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. So you have.
Okay, talk about that. Where sin abounds, say that again.
Well, this comes out of Romans chapter 5. And it says right here, and I'm turning to it so you can get the accurate version of it here. It says, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men. It's talking about sin. It's talking about all men are born into sin, resulting in condemnation. And there's your result of condemnation. We've been talking about that tonight. That's the opposite of God's love. Even so, through one man's righteous act, that's talking about Christ, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many shall be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. And what does that say? Well, just very simply, without going into it to confuse anybody, it just says the law that came, the Ten Commandments, it came to help man understand how lost he was so he would call out for a Savior. That's really what it means. And it goes on to say, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Where sin abounds, grace is so abundant. It's as abundant, and this is one of the theories that we have, it's as abundant as air.
Yeah, it's the air theory.
It is. If you need to breathe more air because you're running, well, what is that saying? If you've had a life, you know, some people prize themselves after saying, I really never been a bad person, really never done anything bad. Well, again, wait a minute. That doesn't get you anywhere.
No.
Because man's still born into sin.
It's like asking for a coupon.
Well, and it's like trying to get graded on a curve.
Yeah,
sorry,
exactly.
But it doesn't work that way. Sin is absolute just like God is absolute. And if there's sin in a man's heart, there's only one way to get it out. There's only one way to get rescued. And that's through the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. Why? Because there was only one Savior that came out of the grave. Folks, that's the difference. I remember the first night that we had, 14 shows ago, I made reference to a gal sitting in an airplane, and she asked me the question, found out that I was a minister. She said, you know, I do believe in Jesus, but I've got a lot of friends that believe in many other things. Why does Christianity act like it's the only way? And I said, well, Christianity is the only quote-unquote religion out there that demands there be a resurrection. Jesus came out of the grave so that we could be set free. When man couldn't do it, when man couldn't fight against sin and win and prevail, someone came from glory. He came dressed in human clothes. His name was Jesus. He was born in a manger, and he was tempted in all points like we are. He's tempted with sin just like we are. And he never did sin. He stayed with his allegiance to the grace and the love of God. That's why we're talking about it tonight. It's our way out, folks. And Jesus went to the cross and bore the sin of all humanity. He became the sacrifice that gets man out. You say, well, you know, I'm a good person, and I appreciate that. But good being good doesn't save you. It's being set free by God's grace from a condition called sin. And it's very interesting we got talking about this tonight, but it brings us full circle right back to the scripture that we used earlier, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves. If you're sitting there thinking, you know, I just don't know how in the world I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to stop doing some of the things that I'm doing. I don't know how I'm going to feel better about life because things just aren't good. Well, folks, that's called blinking your eyes. We talked about that tonight. Blink, blink, blink. What are we doing? We're allowing things of this world to get our attention to the point where we're not seeing clearly. What is that called? That's being in New York City, and you're seeing the lights, and the lights seem to be, oh, so beautiful, but it obscures your vision from what is real. Come on out in the country. Get a hold of this grace and this love that doesn't have to do with you. It has to do with Jesus. BJ talked about it. It's pretty simple. It's pretty easy, and it's pretty awesome.
It is. You know, it's not, you know, people say, well, you joke a lot about your past. And I says, well, think about it. I've been single my whole life. I made a lot of good money in the horse business.
Right.
And I did what I want when I wanted. And I says, I know how to spell self-indulgence backwards.
Okay.
But it wasn't like I was leaving a wife and kids abandoned at home. You know, I mean, I held up all my business responsibilities. I was just footloose and fancy free.
Okay.
Well, when you're a single male adult and you can afford something, what do? You have fun. It wasn't necessarily robbing banks and looting and pillaging, but it wasn't always, you know, of a positive nature. Well, that's all it takes. It's really true what you said. There are people, they pay all their bills on time. They pay their taxes.
Yeah.
They give blood. They do everything. Little League coaches, they do it all. And somebody will say, if there's anybody that's going to go to heaven, it's that guy.
Yeah.
Well, that may not be true.
Yeah.
Because it goes to the Ranger theory, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
Now, we talk about these theories, and we talk about things that are for your consideration. And what you need to do is you need to go to the show's website, www.theabidingpresence.com, and you'll see theories, and you'll see for your consideration. These are inspirational writings and letters that Jim has written, and I've written some, and you'll know who penned it, and you'll know when we did it. And you need to consider these theories, and you need to think about these things, because it takes, these are inspirations that are put into everyday language and gives you examples.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to comment along with what you said here, BJ, because the whole idea of your past, and then you came to the point of, hey, I don't want this anymore. I recognize it. I need something else. And I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. I'm going to experience or acknowledge God's grace, and God saved you. Why? Because you couldn't do it yourself. Now, here's an interesting thought. What about the individual that leads such a very moral life? All right, well, here's the same thought. In their heart is still the same emptiness, because we were created to have a relationship with God. And to the individual that seemingly has everything together and they've never done anything really like people think wrong is wrong, because that's a whole nother subject. We've talked about that in past shows, about what really constitutes sin. It's not just some big, huge thing. It can be all kinds of tons of little things. But nonetheless, we feel like, hey, we've lived a really stellar life. Yeah, but here's the problem. Can you still help yourself? Can you still save yourself because you lived a great life?
Right.
And the answer comes back to the same place it did with you, an acknowledgement that life is more than what I can do myself. Life has to begin where God is involved, and Jesus came to give us that life. Folks, it's very simple when you see it through the eyes of God. I want to read one scripture to you. It's Romans 6 and 23. It says, the wages of sin is death. What does wages mean? It's the things that you earned. The things that we've done in life, being sinners, we earn then what? death, separation from God. But notice the next phrase. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I want you to think tonight and remember that this grace and this love that is ever with you and that will always, we started the show out talking about it. How come if it's with you, if it never leaves you, how come we don't take advantage of it? And remember my comment was, because people aren't putting their faith in an unseen world. They've got their eyes stuck on the lights of New York City instead of going out in the country and realizing, oh my goodness, look at God's grace. Look at God's love. That's what I need. Notice what the scripture says here. It says that the gift of God is eternal life. Folks, it's a gift. You can't earn it. It's something that God has given to you. BJ?
Well, you know, You said something there that I wanna back up on, and it said that it's something that you don't earn, because people think they have to earn it.
No, not at all.
Because people tell them they do.
Yeah.
And they tell them in really sneaky, devious ways.
You know,
ways.
It's very subtle, isn't it?
Well, it is, because after you left the ranch today, I turned on television and I was watching some of those shows on those, you know, because you know I live on a ranch out in the middle of nowhere, so
yep.
If I want TV, it's a satellite dish.
Yeah,
and so I've got like every channel that you know you can get with DirecTV, and I'm looking at these shows, and here's this woman, and she's saying, "I know that you've sinned, I know that you feel bad, I know that you've done wrong, and we can help you with that. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call." And then on the bottom of the screen, it looked like they were selling can openers and knives that will slice a tomato and slice a garbage can in half.
Right.
And she's talking about prayer offerings
so,
and about help. And so the message is look, you're a bad person.
Right.
You deserve to feel bad.
Right.
Stay bad.
Yep.
But if you want to feel good, what's that Visa number?
That's exactly what it says.
I mean, it's
such a hidden message, and people fall for it left and right, and they actually
and here's
set,
the
send their money in.
Here's the problem. You take somebody that's on a fixed income,
yeah,
or let's say isn't exactly, you know, that. I mean, there's no other way to put it, because it's true, and this show is true. They're about as sharp as a marble. They're
okay.
Not real bright.
Okay.
Okay? And they're thinking, I will feel better. Well,
yeah.
Then what happens is they send in their prayer offering, they send in their money, and the prayer isn't answered. And the reason is because it wasn't a prayer. And we've talked about
right.
that for weeks,
right.
And we'll cover it again on another show.
Right, right.
Well, what it does is it makes them feel bad.
Well, yeah, especially when they can't pay their bills because they just sent their money to some evangelist.
Hello.
Got on there and did nothing more than hoodwink them into believing something that's not so.
This couple at the gas station. He says, you guys don't have any commercials on your show. And he says, no, the show is commercially free.
Yeah.
He says, where's the money come from? And I says, I don't know where Jim gets it, but he gets it. I said, this is Jim's personal money. You know, this is where it comes from.
Right.
And he says, what would you do with a lot of money? And I says, you know what I'd do with a lot of money? He says, what? And I'd tell Jim to save his money, pay for a bunch of radio shows in advance. And I says, you know what else I would do? And he says, what? I says, nobody has a Bible anymore.
There you go.
I said,
we've
talked
about that.
I says, I would buy truckloads of Bibles.
Yep.
And I says, and then I would get some little machine that puts people's names on it.
Yep.
And I'd say, you know what? Send us an email. I'll mail you a Bible.
A Bible for free.
For free. No postage, no handling.
Not asking for
and
anything.
And you know what? I bet you a Bible company, well, if they didn't, I'd start my own Bible company. I mean, I've had 17 books published. I can get things in print.
Yeah.
You know, if a Bible company didn't want to give me Bibles at a discount, I'll make Bibles.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go to my publisher.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if he publishes 17 of my books, trust me, he'll publish. But the point being is it grace? It's positive.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not negative.
No.
There's nothing about the Word of God that's negative except beware of sin.
Right.
And that your sins are forgiving. And yeah. There's nothing good of this world. Explain that to him in about a minute. Ready, set, go.
Jesus said, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. He even went on as far as to say to the disciples, if the world doesn't like you, it's because they didn't like me. And what is he saying? He's saying that of this world that's so twisted and there's so much distortion that man has accepted a system that perpetuates the flesh, that magnifies the flesh, that magnifies things of this unnatural world, and it continually obscures your view from the very grace and the love of God himself. Folks, right now, I can just guarantee you, to taste and see of God this very moment, to experience his presence, is the very thing that will forever change your life. And that's what this show is all about. We're not only revealing some of the things that you don't want to walk in, but we're also, like you heard tonight, beginning to share some amazing things that will help you to experience God's voice, God's presence, and God's love. And if you can taste and see that the Lord is good, you'll understand one thing for sure, and that is, from this moment on, you'll never be the same, and you'll forever have a hunger to experience more of God. God is so good. He's unlimited. There are no boundaries on him. And as you begin to experience him more and more, even from this show, you'll experience more of his love and grace. I'm going to take 1 second here and make a quick prayer. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I ask you to open the eyes of the people that are listening tonight and let them feel the very presence of God and experience his love even as they lay their head down on their bed tonight in the quietness of that moment. Lord, speak to their hearts, reveal your presence, heal bodies, and set people free by your grace and your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Folks, we're just about out of time. I want to tell you, thank you for listening to the show. Please log on to the show's site and read the theories and for your consideration letters. If you've got an email request or something, email us. We've also got regular United States postal address if you want to send us something. Thanks for listening. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your spirit. Jim, I thought it went well tonight.
Excellent time. I really enjoyed myself.
All right, folks, take care out there. Good night.
Good night, everyone.